Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora. Or, as always, you can go over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the renovated website with tons of articles and podcasts. And we ask you to please share those on social media and help independent media grow. We're looking forward to the show tonight. We've got on Colonel Julie Hall, who will once again be joining us to talk about what we have all been witnessing going on in Afghanistan recently, which is very infuriating, I think, to most Americans, if not all Americans, just the amount of money and the lives lost and all the things that went into this war in Afghanistan. And then you see what the end result has been, just tragic and a total disaster from the Biden administration. Of course, the Biden administration is not taking any accountability. They're pointing fingers at President Trump, pointing fingers at the Afghan army. And then here we are at the same time the Biden administration was on vacation as this was all going down. We had Jen Psaki taking the week off. We had Joe Biden at Camp David. We had Kamala Harris saying that she is focused on the earthquake in Haiti and refused to answer questions on what is going on in Afghanistan. What is happening in our government, Rob, where there is so little accountability?
Well, I think the question more so is what isn't happening in our government? Good evening, everyone. Glad that you could join us. As Andrew mentioned, a lot has taken place since January. And I think what one of the things that people fail to realize is that we're looking at Afghanistan, which is, in my opinion, a travesty. We shouldn't have been there. We couldn't stay there, in my opinion. I know that other people think differently. We could not stay there. We've been there for 20 years. At some point, they needed to take control of their own country, because it is my belief that our military isn't designed to help nation build or to police and to keep the order, build schools, and to do all this other stuff. That's what the consultants are for, the contractors that are there making a whole lot of money that they've been making for 20 years. And now that we're leaving, it's collapsed. Now, in my humble opinion, from looking at this, from looking at the history, it was going to collapse eventually anyway, because it wasn't built on a sturdy foundation. These people weren't ready to be governed by themselves. But that wasn't our fault. That's not our responsibility, in my opinion. I don't think that our type of government is for them. It's a feudal government. Trying to get them to have the democracy that we had was a waste of time. That being said, Joe Biden, this rests at his feet. Now, he's saying, well, I'm following the process that Trump laid out. Well, Trump had laid out a lot of other things that you disband, including our border. He had worked out a deal with Mexico to keep the immigrants there. But you took that apart, and now we have millions of people coming across. So not only do we have a crisis at the border, now we have a crisis in Afghanistan. Two failed policies of the Biden administration. Kamala said the other day, oh, I talked to Joe and I told Joe he's got to bring our folks home. Really? Oh, and you know, Trump set this up. Yeah, but Trump had a process. And do you actually think that had he started bringing our folks home, that Afghanistan would have failed so quickly? Look at everything that we just gave up. There should have been a process. You get the American citizens out, 11,000 are still there. You get out our artillery, and then our men come home. But okay, men come home, 25,000 troops come home. Okay, who's going to protect the citizens that are there? Who's going to help them come home safely? Now we see that the Taliban, they've circumvented the airport so that no one could leave or come in. But we're telling our citizens that are there, 11,000 people, just make it to the airport and you can get home. Oh, do you actually think they're going to do that? The Taliban, do we trust them now? So what happens? Okay, let's send back 10,000 more soldiers. What? This is like a complete disaster. And while the media, mainstream media, they're saying, oh no, Joe, you messed up. They were talking to Tony Blinken, Secretary of State, Jake Tapper. He asked him, this was a disaster. This is a recipe for failure. Tony Blinken, oh no, no, no. This was deliberate. We had a deliberate process. Deliberate? You deliberately left behind our weapons for them to use against us? You deliberately left behind American citizens, putting their lives at stake? This was deliberate? Really? Jake Sullivan, National Security Advisor. Oh, we trust the Taliban. They're not going to hurt Americans. Really? Are you guys living in La La Land? The country has fallen down, and you're telling us this was deliberate? Okay, well, I hate to see if it wasn't deliberate, what would have happened and what your plans were. because from where I'm sitting, I'm just a citizen. But what you guys are doing, my 7-year-old son could have done a better job at planning this out had I told him this is what needs to happen to protect people. I don't get it. So again, this is what, from me, a civilian looking at this, these are my thoughts. And we're bringing back Colonel Julie Hall to dissect this and give us her thoughts on this. I mean, she has served in the United States Air Force veteran. She's a United States Air Force veteran, having served for 30 years in the military. So we definitely want to hear her take on this. I reached out to her and I said, Colonel, could you come on? And she's like, oh yeah, I've got a lot to say. She's been talking to different people and she has skin in the game because she has a son who was there. I don't know if he's still there, but she'll tell us. So now we're going to hear from someone up close and personal who can help us put all of this into perspective. Colonel Hall, how are you tonight?
Hi, how are you? And again, I just want to say thank you for giving me this opportunity. You know, I do appreciate you having me on. And I do want to tell the listeners here, I did have 30 years of experience. I worked in the healthcare career field. And you might say, well, healthcare. You know, the interesting thing is we received medical intel, and our intel sometimes gives a different perspective of what's going on in the country. So, you know, one of the first things that I had asked myself is, why did we go in the first place? I've had many, many years of what we call professional military education. And being a colonel, I reached the highest level of that. And what that is they take us through very intense discussions about what's going on in the world and what we can expect in the future. And I'll share some of that with you. My original intel was that the Taliban had been growing poppies, and then this will all make sense. They take those poppies, they make heroin, they sell that, and then they buy guns. Syria, it's what I'm going to say. Syria and that area have always been bad players in the global arena. This is what we were worried about. This was the concern. We don't go into countries just because we want to make things better. We just don't do that. You know, unless it's a humanitarian mission, we just don't go into countries to bring democracy or so forth. That's not what we do. We go into a country because there is something that is a resource that we want, or there is something that is important to our own national defense. So my understanding is the reason we went in the first place, we were concerned about the arms that were being purchased, bought, sold in that area of Syria, Jordan, and Yemen. Now, I've seen that written in other places. So I think there's a confusion. One of the biggest problems that we're seeing here is nobody really knows anymore. That's sort of been lost in the shuffle because so many years of being there. So as a medic, we went out and we built roads. And we were told that we needed to build roads because if we wanted the Afghanistan farmers to stop growing poppies, we had to build them roads so they could grow vegetables and take their vegetables to the big cities. All makes sense. We go in there, we build hospitals. And what happened when we built the hospitals? When we built the hospitals, the Afghan population, the corrupt government, they stole most of the supplies. My son, who was stationed in Bagram, told me that regularly there would be vehicle accidents with the Afghan population. Why? Because they knew if they hit an American vehicle that they would be reimbursed by the American government. Now, think about that. We've got guys going out there, gals going out there. They're already on high alert. And here they get hit in the middle of a busy street. That's cause for panic. That puts our people into a panic. Why are they stopping us? Are we going to get attacked? But no, it was simply just so they could get a new vehicle. So there were things going on with the government there that was, you know, continuously corrupt. The other thing that my son did share is that, you know, the children, the girls in particular, as we went in. We were trying to allow the girls to go to school, and some of the children were being shot at as they went to school by their own people. So there was a lot of things going on that I don't think folks back here really understood. And now it should make a little bit more sense to all of us why some of the veterans, or most of the veterans, I can almost say 100% of them, are very angry right now. So given all that, still, they say they were conflicted. And I said, well, what was the conflict? Yes, we knew it was a bad situation being there. We knew that every time we moved back an inch, the Taliban would come right back in again. The Taliban and the Afghans, you have to think and remind yourselves, they don't think the same way we do. This is a group that is based off of, you know, a deep religious belief. Their whole world is based off of deep religious beliefs, tribal beliefs, and they are committed to those tribes first. And that includes the Afghan population. We were never going to win their hearts and minds. It was never going to happen, despite what we did. So every time we moved an inch back, the Taliban moved right back in. When we evacuated an area, for instance, you know, where the poppies would have been grown, the Taliban came right back in and they blew up those roads. So, you know, this was constantly going on. So when people say this was no surprise, this was no surprise. These people have been doing this since we've been there. They've made it quite clear that they ran the show. The problem that gets created is we go into these countries, and I am going to make a parallel to Vietnam, because a lot of the Vietnam vets are also very angry by what they see. They're seeing almost a repeat of how we, you know, even though they were different kinds of wars and they had different kinds of problems, they see that the outcome or the ability to leave a country is a very, very bad thing. We do not have good plans for doing that. You know, we get in there, but we never have a very, very sound exit plan that I can see. So, you know, they see this, and they befriend some of these people. Their government tells them, befriend these people. And that's the way we believe that we're going to get information. So they do. And it's devastating, because as soon as we move out of an area, what do we leave behind? We leave those people behind. And we know what's going to happen. They're going to be killed. We can expect to see some very, very graphic torturing, beheading, because that's what's done, in the next couple of weeks. And that's going to be unfortunate. So these are the kinds of things that people really do need to understand. And, you know, it's very hard to talk about these things when you think about what these folks go through and what our military people go through. Now, given that, what should we have done? Okay, well, I'm going to tell you what the Russians would have done. The Russians have been there and were there before we were there. Many, many different groups were there. Genghis Khan, who was one of the most ferocious leaders and fighters, vicious, went into that country and couldn't take it over. So years and years, these people have been invaded, if you would, and that's okay. They're a very, very patient group of people. They stay up in the mountains and they wait and they wait. And they waited in this particular case. And as we started pulling out, people were shocked at how quickly they came back down from the mountains and took over every bit of land. You know, but I think the shock that I have is, did we not have this intel? How could we not know that this was going to happen? Even though our troops have seen this happen over and over again, you know, to say, hey, listen, we didn't know they would take over so quickly. And again, it was very devastating that we left Americans there, and even more devastating that we left some of our equipment there. One of the first things I was taught when we go through our exercises of deployments, or, you know, if we're going to get captured or something's going to happen on base, we, you know, it was called boogie out. We had a boogie out plan. And the first thing that we were supposed to take at that time, of course, our computers had, you know, were hard drives. We were supposed to take every one of those hard drives or destroy them before we left, which was probably the most important information. We were not to leave any information of that behind. That was our number one priority. That was the first thing on the checklist. So again, leaving this equipment, how could that happen? You know, if I've been trained for years and years to do this, why aren't our folks aware of this? My biggest problem I think that I have is, I'm just going to say, what's wrong with these people that are running our country? What is wrong with them? I can't tell you how many times I've said this. This is very simple thinking. This is very simple strategy. And I just don't understand why after years and years, somebody like myself, you know, a commander who's in the medical corps, how come I know this stuff? And they don't. That's disturbing. Very disturbing.
So Julie, just listen to what you're saying. It's just amazing. The exit strategies, what we didn't do, what we should have done. Having been there for 20 years, many people don't even know why were we there? Why are we there? Why did we go there in the first place? It had nothing to do with 9/11, but then The story that you gave about the poppy seed, we know that that did happen. And a lot of the poppy seeds that they were growing, converting it to heroin, and then exchanging that for weapons from Syria, Jordan, and all these other places. It's like, how do you stop it? Okay, so let's build roads. They can take their vegetables to the city and sell it. But then you would have the Taliban going in, blowing it up. And then you've got to do it again. So they retreat to the mountains. And they're there.
That's right.
And they wait. And they wait. So they have waited. Where the heck was our intel? Did we not know this was going to happen? But we have intel that's telling us that in August, there's going to be another, quote, insurrection that's going to try to overthrow the government. And we better be on the watch out. Where was the intel for this? Why are we busy looking at this frat boy prank? And that's all it was. But we're saying it's an insurrection, whereas Joe Biden just allowed insurrection in Afghanistan. We are so completely lost with all this wokeness.
Oh my gosh.
Lloyd Austin, Mark Miley, They should be fired. They should, Tony Blinken should be fired. Everything that you just said, none of them could have come out and intelligently, clearly said this. The weapons that we left behind. Why would you leave your weapons behind? Why didn't you destroy that? That should have been the first thing you destroyed. Was this part of some type of agreement that we'll leave this here for you? Just don't hurt the American citizens. I've heard some people say, civilians who've talked to me, they said, well, maybe this was a part of some strategy that they left the weapons behind. I mean, they left a cache of weapons there.
You know, and to trust the Taliban. Again, we got to go back again and think they are not like us. Their one mission is to kill us. They have said it over and over again, unapologetically, kill the infidels. Guess who the infidels are? That would be us.
And you know what, Colonel?
Yes.
The other day, CNN, one of their foreign correspondents was there the day before. She was wearing regular civilian clothing. The next day, she had on the burqa. And she was reporting, and she said, and you could hear this in the background, they were shouting, death to America. Mm-hmm. But then her take on it was that they're saying death to America, but yet and still, they seem to be so friendly. I'm like, are you serious? They're saying death to America, but you're saying they're friendly, which is reminiscent of the summer of 2020 in Seattle, when they were burning down the city, and the governor said, oh, we're going to have the summer of love. What is wrong with these people?
Yeah.
So many blind spots.
Yeah, I just don't get it. And I, you know, again, you have to understand the culture of the people where you are going. They do not think like us. For them to die, you know, I read something that says they fight to die. We fight to win.
That's powerful.
And to live. So think about that. They fight to die. We fight to live. So if you are willing to fight and die, what can stop you? What would stop you? Their greatest achievement is to be able to die for Allah.
For Allah, their greatest achievement, because they believe that on the other side, there are going to be 32 virgins waiting for them hand and foot. I mean, that's what they're thinking.
You know what? The only thing that'll stop them, I don't know if people are aware of this, but the only thing that'll stop them from the 32 virgins is if they're killed by a woman. And so that's why the Pakistani army is so effective. They have a whole group of women. The PKK has a whole group of women, and the Taliban actually feared them, if you would, from that particular standpoint, because they did not want to get shot by a woman because they wanted to get their virgins. Isn't that something? But this is, it sounds silly to us. It does sound silly to us, right. But to them, you have to remember again, their whole being is based on religion. Everything they do is based on a religious commitment to Allah. And we, us not understanding that as Americans, is a fatal flaw in our strategy, as far as I'm concerned.
You're right. We can't, for some reason, get that through our heads that everything that they do is based upon religion, and we are the infidels. And I don't care how many times we say they are our friends. I heard someone the other day saying that they're trying to allow all these Afghanistan men to come here unvetted. It's like, are you serious? Unvetted to come here? They're smiling. Don't you know that these are the same men that will rise up against you? They're telling you one thing, but they will do something completely different. Look at the guy who's at Guantanamo Bay. Barack Obama, 2014, did a prison exchange. And now the guy is there in Afghanistan in control of everything. How did we miss that? Our intel seems to be so point on and trying to point out American citizens that we deem as being bad.
Yeah, that's right.
But the people who are right there with the knife to our throat, we're saying, oh, they're our friends. We've just got to understand them a little better. No, they're not.
You know, I mean, the other difficulty I have is, you know, it's, again, I don't know whether they're just naive. I'll use the word naive. I use the word stupid. Okay.
That's fine with me.
Are they just stupid? Or is this a well thought out plan? I hope it's the first. Okay. I am concerned it's the second. But to think our own government would work towards this is, I can't. But I have to tell you, I have said this over and over again with this particular group that we have up there. It can't get much worse. I can't see them doing anything. And everything that I've said, they have done. And it does get worse. And every time it gets worse. We as Americans, as American citizens, we've got to speak out about this. We've got to stop this. When we're getting to the point where it's becoming numb to us. And I think that's just where they want us to be. We've got to continue the outrage. We've got to continue to be angry. And thank God there are Vietnam veterans still out there to remind us. This is why the saying, if we do not understand our history, then we're apt to repeat that again. And what have we done in this country? We've taken away that history. We're removing that history. So again, what I say is, this seems to me to be a very calculated, brainwashing of our population. And, everything they've done, defund the police, thank God. You know what? Thank God the defund the police thing hasn't, I say it's turned back, okay? I say that people have realized that once these cities, as you said, these cities got burned down and, people were out of control, they kind of realized, well, that probably wasn't a good idea. You think? Do you think?
Right, exactly. It's like, come on now.
Hey, listen, I'm not the smartest person in the world, okay? But I know this stuff. How can I know this stuff and they not know this stuff? So, there's something definitely wrong. We've got to fix it. I want to go back on something you said about these, our new senior officers. Very, in my mind, it was very disrespectful what was said. As if, is it General Miley? Is it Milley? I don't know how to pronounce the name correctly, and I apologize for that. But to say or insinuate after so many years and so many wonderful leaders, I consider myself to be a good commander and a good leader. I consider myself, I didn't care who you were, what color, what religion. You came in your uniform and you did your job. End of story. And my job was then to protect you. My job was not to make sure that you got everything you wanted, that you got to wear what you wanted, you know, that that was not my job. My job was to make sure that you were a good military asset and that doing that, I knew you would be protected. And that was my way to protect you. He acted as if he finally was the only one that got the clue. Only he knew this. It's very disrespectful. I'm very angry. I'm very, very disgusted in what he did, because he basically threw all the rest of us under the bus. Who told you that you stepped in all of a sudden and now you're the one who understands all these things? We have been taking care of these people for years. The commanders have been taking care of their troops wonderfully, beautifully, and to have people that will work together for years. And now all of a sudden they want to decide, hey, listen, you know, things aren't right. Well, things have been right. You're making them wrong. You're dividing people. It's going to be tragedy. They need to get rid of those people. They do. Our mission in the military is to fight and to win. Our mission is to win wars, period. Our mission is to ensure that our national assets are secure and that we can defend our country. Nothing more, nothing less. Our mission is not to ensure that we have a social experiment in our military government. That's just counterproductive to what why have a military if that's what's going to happen? So, you know, here it is, what I believe is that, you know, you have to decide, and this country has to decide, why do we have a military in the first place? Why aren't you going to war? Why don't, you know, the women on the street go to war? It's the same reason why we have police officers. We pay people, we train people, we have designated certain people and organizations to go and do those things for us so that we don't have to do hand-to-hand combat on our own soil. And people need to understand that. The lack of having a military means you're going to have to protect yourself. Are you ready to do that? No. So let us do it. Let us do it the way we know is the best way to do it. You know, the thing is, and again, it's very simple. We are willing to go. If we're going into war against someone, an aggressor that comes towards us, it needs to be decisive. It needs to be clear. And it needs to be powerful. Our job is to make sure that when we hit them, they do not get back up again. And this is part of the problem also. We need to hit them. Russia, that's what they do. They were afraid of the Russians. My son told me, and other people that went, they loved it when the Russians came in because they didn't have the same rules that we had. They came in and kicked ass and take names and off they went. I mean, people would applaud them when they came in. And that's what he said. He was happy when the Russians came in. But we tied the hands of our people saying, you can't do this, you can't do that. Again, why have a military? If you just want to go out and shake hands with people, we don't need a military. If you want people to go in and protect you, let us protect you. And let us do that the way we know the best way to do it. You know, if you are on the street and someone is attacking your child, do you think you'd put them in a situation where you're just going to tap them lightly or try to negotiate with them? No, you're going to kick the living you-know-what out of them and make sure that that person doesn't come back to do damage to you or your child. That's what you're paying for. That's what we have. And I just can't put in any simpler terms for people to understand because, you know, you get these people that come up, they talk the whole rhetoric. Oh, you know, this, that. You know, I'm a very simple person and I want people to understand because I think if we're able to break it down to small things, maybe people will understand a little bit better.
Yeah, thank you, Julie. We are all fired up tonight. And if you're not, I don't think you are paying attention. We're here with Colonel Julie Hall, 30-year Air Force veteran. And you are tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. If you're looking for a great product to help boost you, check out healthycell.com. Rob and I are taking the Immune Super Boost and Focus and Recall, and they've got so many other great products on there that make your cells completely healthy. If you don't like taking pills, it is perfect because it comes in a gel form and it tastes great. So try out healthycell.com and you can save 20% using the code OUTLOUD. We will be back with more on After Dark with Rob and Andrew, joined by Colonel Julie Hall.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together. We need to shop together. And we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Today, America stands at the crossroads of history. Our actions will determine the fate of our nation. Well, that journey starts here and starts now. We invite you to join us in making the ultimate difference. Subscribe to our podcast and newsletters. Turn notifications on and stay in the know. You'll find all that back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for joining us again for our second half of After Dark with Rob and Andrew and our guest, Colonel Julie Hall. If you've been sleeping, I hope you're awake now, because Colonel Hall is just breaking it down. And as she said, in very simplistic terms, and one of the things that I really enjoyed that she said, and she said this previously on our show, is the responsibility of the military, who they are and what they do. Because right now, the Defense Secretary, Lloyd Austin, and the Joint Chief of Staff guy, Mark Milley, they seem to think that our military is supposed to be engaged in social experiments. They're supposed to be deciding what nail polish they're going to wear, their hair color, and all this other ancillary stuff that has nothing to do with the military. The colonel said once before, I don't care if you're gay, straight, as long as you're doing your job, I'm going to make certain that you do your job and that you get back safe and sound, and make certain also that your partner gets back safe and sound. So all this other stuff, this other distraction that the left seems to be putting out there, the military is not concerned with it. So why these new generals are trying to introduce it with the ad campaigns, it's a joke. You don't see China doing it. You don't see Russia doing it. And I'm sure that they have, you know, the LGBTQ people in their military, but no one cares about that. No one cares if it's a male or female, as long as you're doing your job. And that job is to go in, kill, complete the mission, come back home. We just got to keep it simple, as the colonel said. All this other stuff, we got to build nations. No, how did that get introduced? 20 years in Afghanistan. 20 years. And what do we have to show for it? People scrambling at an airport, trying to get out of Afghanistan because Joe Biden and his woke folks decided, oh, let's leave now. Let's just leave. And we're going to leave behind 11,000 Americans. We're going to leave behind all of our weaponry. And as the colonel said, that's one of the things that you destroy first. You get rid of all the hard drives. We even see this played out in the movies. The hard drives, the machinery that you can't bring back home, destroy it. Why would you leave it there? Was this by design? Was this some type of agreement with the Taliban that we'll leave this for you, but make certain that you don't hurt any Americans, and you trust them? I mean, you trusted them that they would tear down the country, that when we did leave, the country would still be in place. But it's not. The president of the country has left. I don't trust him, and I hope he's not coming to America. And then you look at the airplane that was sitting on the tarmac of the airport. They showed us a picture inside, and all I saw were men. I saw a few women, a few children, but a majority were men. So those men will come here, and they will continue the job of destroying things. Why won't those men go to Saudi Arabia? Why won't Saudi Arabia say, well, let's receive our brethren? They're not going to do that. Look at what happened with Iraq. They were like, no, don't send them here. You take them. Why must we take them? It's their brethren. We don't want them here tearing up stuff. But yet and still, you will have liberals volunteering. Oh, let them come here. We want them here. Look at what we did with, God bless her, named Ilhan Omar. We went and rescued her from her village in Africa, Somalia. We went and rescued her. And look at how she's returned the favor. She's attacking our closest allies, Israel. She's speaking out against Americans. She's claiming that what happened on 9/11, if something happened and they did this. What do you mean by something happened? 3,000 plus Americans died. But this is the thanks we get. And then Americans sit there. When I say Americans, meaning folks that were born here. Oh, it's okay. And even the nationalized citizens. You go up in the Midwest and you will see entire populations of Somalis. Some of them are good American citizens. But we gave you, we gave to you, we saved you. We took you out of the filth. We saved your lives. We took you out of all of the oppressive laws, Sharia. Why would you come here and try and reintroduce it? Why would you come here and go on the Hill, the capital, Rashida Tlaib, and speak ill of this great country that gave so much to you and for you? Well, I'll tell you why. Because she's abusing the Constitution, because the Constitution gives you freedom of speech. It allows you to speak out against the country that saved you. It allows you to burn the American flag, the flag that many in Cuba are saying, we want some of that. Why would you do it? You look at the Afghanistanis who do and who are afraid and do want to come here. Why would they want to come here knowing that they're going to be discriminated against? Why would they want to come here if this country is so racist? I say the same for the people at the border. But the left, they seem to be clueless about it. Oh, we're racist. We're racist. They're banging their heads on the desk and their fist on the table. This is a racist country. But yet and still, we have people trying to come here. For good or for bad, they're trying to come here. And I doubt seriously, Andrew. I doubt seriously, Colonel Hall, that they're coming here just to try out some of that racism. They want to come here because there is freedom. So all of you woke politicians, all of you woke American citizens, all of you woke athletes that were at the Olympic, turning your back on the flag, putting your hands on your hip, putting your nose up in the air, kneeling, angry, why don't you go to Afghanistan? and try that there. Get up, pack your bags, and go. Sean Hannity, I think he said that he would give them a charter a plane, give them a ticket to get over there. Shame on all of you. Joe Biden, shame on you. Secretary of State Tony Blinken, shame on you. And for Joe Biden to come out and say, well, Trump, Trump had nothing to do with this. He's no longer the president. And you are resident Biden. You have failed us. Shame on you. Shame on your entire administration. Shame on the media that has covered for you. And I know that some people are saying we need to impeach him. But if we impeach him, who will we get? Kamala. If we impeach her, who will we get? Nancy Pelosi, who's just as dumb and stupid, as the colonel would say, as all the rest of them. So we're messed up until 2024. Biden has messed up royally. This is a complete disaster. We can't hide it. Lindsey Graham, don't try to give him any points. Shut up if you don't know what you need to say, because Biden has messed up. I don't care how close friends you guys are. He has messed up royally. And where is Biden? Oh, he's in his basement, Camp David, hiding out. He should be at the White House looking at the mess that he has created. Shame, shame, shame. Now, Colonel, something that I want to ask you that you had mentioned. When we do leave countries, and as you said, we have a bad success rate in leaving the country, but you also said that you know from experience that the first thing you do is to take all the weapons. So what we did, it seems, is that we had 25,000 soldiers that were there. We got them out, and then we went, oops, what about the 11,000 American citizens? Oh, so now we need to send back 10,000 more troops. Now, does that seem deliberate? I mean, why would we be so ass backwards and getting our folks out of there?
As you were saying the word oops, that's exactly the word I used on my Facebook. Okay. Like, okay, we're leaving. We have a plan. Everything should be going fine. And then oops, there is no oops. Okay. We don't have an oops in the military. And that's the problem. Everything we do should be carefully planned out with a strategy. One of the things that we do is we train over and over and over again. I mean, to the point where I could do some of these, I can still remember some of these things way, way back of what I needed to do in certain circumstances. That's the whole purpose. You'll find the same kind of training that goes on in the police force and with the fire departments. Those kinds of, I call them paramilitary. People say, oh, you shouldn't call them paramilitary but they are. And because I say that because they train in the same way that we do, to be able to respond in a split second. The difficulty comes when you say, stop responding, stop and think. Stopping and thinking we're all thinking people, we're all intelligent people. But when we train, we are repetitive over and over and over again. So there will be no mistakes. When somebody interjects a different philosophy into that, you've just messed up the whole thing. You know, and I'll tell you, one of the things that I'm very concerned about is the women and children. Those women have had freedom. They've seen American women. They've talked to American women. I think I related during our last conversation about my experiences in Korea, where we had American women that were going and deploying to Korea, and yet the Korean women were treated like property. And that was very, very disturbing to the American women. I remember saying that they came to my hospital, they weren't going to be treated that way. That is, in some essence, and I'm going to, you know, kind of say a little bit bad on myself. Part of our problem is we have an imperialistic attitude when we go in, that people should be like us. They should act like us. They should want the things that we want. We have to stop thinking like that. If a country wants us to come in, if they ask us to come in, they need to show that they have a strategy, they have a plan, and they are committed just as strongly as we are committed to helping them. That never happened in Afghanistan. I mean, we came in there and just started doling out money and giving things. You know, of course they wanted us to stay. But I am very, very concerned, because I did see something on TV about some of the women there that said they aren't going to change. Well, you know what's going to happen to them? They're going to get beheaded. They're going to get tortured. They're going to get killed. That's what's going to happen to them. And we've instilled that in them. So have we made it better for them? No, we're going to get them killed. You know, do I believe that all women, you know, where is the outrage, tell me, of my Democratic women who want to have pro-choice and independence and all of this? Where is the outrage to support these women that we left there? I am very angry.
They're quiet.
Why are they not speaking up and saying this is unacceptable for women of any place to be treated in this manner? And they know what's going to happen to them. They know what's going to happen to the children. Unacceptable. Totally unacceptable.
They're quiet, you know, as mice, completely quiet, silent. They should be speaking up. I agree, Colonel.
Oh, listen, we're going to see this. This is going to play out in the next, as quickly as the Taliban took over. This is going to play out. Why? Why? Because they're going to do what we should have done. They're going to be the big dog on the block. They're going to be the frightening person. They're going to be the frightening group. They're going to be the group that no one will go against, because we will fear them. That's deterrence. That is deterrence. And that's what keeps us out of wars. When people are afraid of our power and our might, they think twice. Nobody's going to think twice now. We have almost let the whole world down, if you would. Now think about Taiwan and think about Israel. What do you think is going on in their minds right now?
You're right, Colonel. You're right. We have let the world down because these guys were afraid of our might. Look at what Trump did when he went into Syria. He obliterated ISIS. He took out the top leader of Iran, and he said that if you guys retaliate, I will take out your husband, your wife, and your children. I will get rid of all of you. And that's what we have to do, as you said. When we're going to war, we're not going there to have a picnic. We have a mission. And people don't get it. People will die when we go in with our mission. Go ahead, Colonel.
No, I mean, absolutely. And the thing is that, again, if you don't want us, if we don't want to do that, open up the borders and just let them come over here. You'll be fighting in the streets for your life. That's the alternative. Remember, that is the alternative. That is why we as a country decided to have a military in the first place, because we didn't want our families, our wives, our, you know, people on the street. We didn't want them to have to fight hand-to-hand combat. So as we became a developed country, we created that service, if you would, all right? It's not a palatable service. Nobody wants to say we're going to go out and kill people. I don't know if there's many people that say, I want to go out and kill people. I know there's some. But there's not many people that say, hey, I want to go out and I want to die. These people and these military people are so angry. And here's the reason why. So many people say to us, oh, they're naive. They don't know what they've been told things by people and they don't understand why they're going in there. They just blindly take orders. Absolutely wrong. These people and these military people, honorable people, know exactly. They know the faults. They could tell it better than, listen, I could tell it. I'm sitting here. Okay. We know the faults and the problems better than anyone else. And yet we go. Do something so silly like that, to put their lives on the line, knowing that the probability of success is extremely low, and yet they go. That's a hero. That is an honorable person. And people need to start understanding that. Military people don't ask for anything except they want people to understand that. They are not blindly led. They are not sheep. They are doing this because this is what they swore to do on your behalf, because you, the American people, have asked us to provide that service for you. You pay for it. You get it. Let us do our job. Yes, I'm angry.
Yet we have.
Yes, I
am. And you have every right. And I'm glad, because people need to understand this. They need to understand the role of the military, because it has gotten lost over time. I think that President Trump understood it, but you're breaking it down in simplistic terms as to the role of the military. We go in, we fight, we kill, we get the mission, and then we come home. All this other stuff that they're putting up on us, that's not for the military. That's for the military contractors to do, not for the military. And people have got it twisted. And as you said, look at how our enemies and our allies are looking at us now. Mm-hmm. We let them down.
Yeah.
We have become weak. And all while Trump was a president, these other countries are laughing at him. No, they weren't. They were shaking in their boots, because they didn't know, hey, he might come after us. He will call us out. And if we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, he will come after us. And now we have resident Biden. Shameful.
Yeah, it's the worst. Who is going to want to now be in the military? Who's going to want to do this job? I mean, that is what people need to start thinking about. And the interesting thing is, they'll say, well, just what we do with the vaccines, we'll make them.
Right.
we'll make them do it. Okay. Wait a minute. I thought you were the kinder, gentler people. But when things don't go your way, we're going to make you do it. Well, that's not very kind or gentle as far as I'm concerned. So you know what? Be real. That's all I'm asking. I'm asking for our congressional people, our liberal people, be honest. I don't want to hear your rhetoric. I want you to tell the truth. That's what we've lost. We've lost people telling the truth.
Is your son still serving?
No, no, he is not. He actually, went into the Guard afterwards, and he served for probably, I think, 6 or 7 years. But I can tell you, our Gold Star families who have lost children over there, I just want to reach out and I just want to say to them, it's hard to say to them that your sons and daughters went there in vain. And, I'm going to tell you this, just what I said. Don't ever think for a moment that your sons and your daughters did not know what they were getting into. And they did it honorably. They did it without question, because they love this country. And for that, you should be proud of their character. You don't have to be proud of their mission, but please be proud that you raised a son and a daughter with character that you will not see in many young children, you will not see in many adults.
And you're right, because a lot of people, they look at it and they lump it all in together. They look at the character and they look at the assignment. They say, oh, it was a waste of time. But look at how we did the Vietnam vets when they came back home and people turned their backs on them. And Americans are so quick to do it. We don't like the mission. We're going to turn our backs on you.
Yeah.
I see with Afghanistan, and people are saying, I just heard just on the radio shows, vets were calling in and saying, I'm hurt. I didn't serve, but this hurts me. And one guy said something that really stood out. He said, you know why we do it? He said, we are completely aware, as you said, Colonel, what we're doing. He said, but another reason why we do it is so that our sons and daughters won't have to do it. We're going in, doing our mission, and then leaving so that the next group won't have to do it. But for some reason, people have gotten it all confused and lost in translation. And we need to get back to the basics and understand what's going on. Understand the mission. Understand it. And our leaders, like Lloyd Austin, Mark Miley, who were busy trying to be woke, just step aside. Because I'm sure that there are some in the military that don't agree with them, but they're like good soldiers. Hey, this is a leader. We need to be quiet. But we need to raise those individuals up. We need our leaders, commander-in-chief, other than Joe Biden, someone who's going to stand there and support our men and women in uniform and say, this is your mission, and this is what you're going to do, and then you're coming home. That's it. As opposed to trying to get them all bogged down at a bunch of nonsense. So what's happening now is we have 10,000 more soldiers that have got to go back to Afghanistan or on their way back, to secure, I guess, the perimeter, to make certain that we could bring home our fellow Americans that are there. Do you think that mission could be accomplished at this stage of the game, Colonel?
It's going to be very difficult. And this is the most dangerous point for any of our military soldiers going at any point, is as we draw down and pull up and pull away. It is the most dangerous time. As a mother who had a son that went, I do know what it's like. It's you wait for a phone call. I at this point in time, I don't know. I think so, but now we have no choice. Now we have to do it. Had we had a very controlled exodus, still dangerous. But now, you know, that danger factor has been upped, you know, incredibly. How do you even get the troops in there safely? You know, that's the thing. I'll tell you though, but you know, there's people, I mentioned this and I said, boy, I wouldn't want to be signing up for that. And one of my friends, he's a Marine, and he says, oh yeah, they're going to, because they're going to want to make sure that something is saved out of this whole debacle. That we're able to at least say, hey, we came back in and we were able to get these people out safely. And that is very, very important to the military. That's their job. They are willing to do this job and they're going to do it well. And I pray and I hope that everybody gets out safely. That's it. You can only pray. You can only hope. There are no guarantees.
Yeah, absolutely. And we thank everyone who served. Our thoughts and prayers are with the families of all those that were lost throughout Afghanistan, Syria, Iraq. So many people lost in this unfortunate war, including Joe Kent's wife, who we had on the show. Joe Kent talked about it. Shannon Kent, he is now running for Congress in Washington State. We really wish him luck and hope he wins his race. Thank you so much, Julie, for coming on and giving us so much informative information tonight. What's the best place that people could follow up with you and keep in touch with you?
Please, yes. So it is Hall for Congress. That's my website, hallforcongress.com. I am running again.
Great. Okay. I was going to ask you. Good. We need you.
I am running again. And, you know, there's certain things you just trip you over the line. And this is, my son said to me, please run. You've got to replace these people. And my son is usually doesn't make those kind of comments. And so, you know, I really appreciate that, because you need that kind of support. But it's hallforcongress.com. There is a donation button on there to run a good race. Unfortunately, you know, that's a whole nother show.
what district in the great state of Massachusetts are you running in, Julie?
Well, it's Massachusetts District 4.
Okay. So
the best district, and most beautiful district, greatest people in the state of Massachusetts.
Massachusetts District 4, get out and campaign and vote for Julie Hall. She would be a great representative in Congress. And we thank Colonel Julie Hall for coming on tonight. And thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out on all the other shows over at AmericaOutLoud.com. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher. We will see you guys next time. Remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.